5:33, welcome back to the Sports Line. Rich Roth, Ed Lane, joined now by a guy that we'd like to consider our good friend from the Roanoke Times, great columnist, Aaron McFarlane. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, we're good friends.
Awesome. I never presume.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea, but yeah, we're best buds.
Outstanding. I get acquaintance a lot. We're good acquaintances. No one wants to be my friend. They just want to be an acquaintance.
Yeah, I know those guys. I've heard of them. That's about all I want to say about that.
Ha ha! Ouch.
All right, so I'll tell you what. We'll get into Tech and UVA in just a second with bowl games. It seems like everything worked out great for both of them. But let's start with the college football playoff. Alabama or Ohio State? Did you have a preference one way or another?
Yeah, I'd rather see Alabama. You know, you got a quartet of 12-1 teams instead of a 2-loss team in there. I mean, I think Vegas told you something when they made Alabama a favorite in that game against Clemson, that if people want to go who's the better team, you have a hard time making the case for Ohio State. If you want to say who's the more deserving team, I think you have a better argument there, because obviously Ohio State had some really nice wins and won its conference title and all those things, and Alabama didn't really play a tough schedule. But you know Alabama's going to bring talent to the final quartet, and that's kind of what you want, right? I mean, you just want to see the best team duke it out. There's a guy who has, you know, no rooting interest there, but just wants to see a great game. I think the committee gave us one in Clemson versus Alabama, and maybe it'll turn out to be a blowout one way or the other, but I think on paper it's more exciting to me than seeing Ohio State get another mole again and go and try to avoid a third loss.
Is that in part because Ohio State had a couple of losses that weren't close? They were pretty resounding.
Yeah, I think the Iowa one is the one everybody points to, and rightfully so. I mean, 31 points, it's hard to lose by 31 points when you're a top 5, top 10 type of team. I mean, it just doesn't happen, even on the road. Especially to a team, I think Iowa finished 7-5. I mean, that's a really bad loss, and it's hard to get over a loss like that. When you're talking about Alabama's schedule, you say, well, they haven't beaten very many people, but yeah, the one loss they had was to Auburn, which is in the top 8 of the committee's ranking. So yeah, I defend the committee here. I mean, I think the committee made the right decision. It probably wasn't the easiest decision in the world to put two teams from the same conference into your final. I mean, you could defend a conference champion a little bit easier public relations-wise. But they said, no, I think it would be a better game if we put Alabama in there. We think Alabama's a better team, and so that's what we're going to do. And I applaud them for it. I think it was the right move.
Aaron McFarlane, Roanoke Times, joining us here on the Sports Line, presented by Jersey Lily's Roadhouse, two locations in the Roanoke area, one on Route 460 heading into Roanoke from Lynchburg, and the other in Salem. Great all-American food, steaks, chicken tenders, burgers, everything you need.
They got all sorts of varieties of steaks.
Don't sleep on the chicken fried steak. That's a solid option there.
Really?
Oh yeah, filled and covered with gravy. Comes with a side of mashed potatoes. Yeah, it's a solid choice. They have a lunch version too, which I think is under $10. It's a very fine choice.
You should see Ed's face right now.
I'm very perplexed on what to say, because it sounds like you thoroughly enjoy it.
Covered
and good
with gravy,
for you.
His eyes like light up. Like, oh my god.
Well, anything with cream gravy on it is going to be in my top 4 of my playoff rankings. And this has got gravy on it, so I mean, it's probably the top seed. You know, anything you can get, which is already a delicious meal, which is steak, and then it's deep fried, which is another good element to the whole idea, and then gravy, which is just a, I mean, it's the 31-point road win that gets you into the thing. I mean, that's a delicious meal right there. And maybe you mix in some veggies if you, you know, if you're feeling a little sprightly, but I don't think it's necessary to do so.
No, and I mean, the mashed potatoes, who doesn't love those?
Right, right. And you get a salad, and the salad there is probably as unhealthy as everything else you're getting, because it's covered in delicious ranch and got some cheese and croutons in it. Just a good meal all around.
Aaron is doing this just to totally rub it in my face.
It sounds so good, though. It sounds so good.
I mean, to 99% of the people out there, this sounds like an exquisite meal. So that's what's more important than my obscure 1% elitist take.
That's right. And the rest of us can all go home and say we had a salad. We had a salad.
Right.
What'd you order? Well, I had a salad. Well, good for you. Good for you.
All right, Aaron. So Tech and UVA. You know, there was some concern that UVA might be headed to Detroit. And we all know that Detroit's a beautiful time, a beautiful place this time of year. You know, winter,
any time of year.
Winter in Detroit. How do you go wrong there? But they get the short trip up to Navy, and obviously a lot of ties and a lot of history with the Naval Academy. And that Military Bowl, I mean, perfect for Virginia, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you would think there'd be a lot of Virginia fans that show up to that game. It just seems right. I mean, I covered the Military Bowl when Tech was there against Cincinnati, and it was a nice little intimate setting. I think they have like 35,000 seats there, so I think that's one of your biggest problems with some of these bowl games is that you play them in stadiums that just aren't conducive to what you're going to draw. You know, I think if you have smaller stadiums, the crowd looks more lively because it's a higher percentage of the capacity, and that's what you'll get in Annapolis. And, of course, when you're playing Navy there, you're going to get a ton of Navy fans too. It's funny, my grandparents are they're still alive. They're in their late 90s now, and both of them are still alive. They live in Detroit, and we used to visit Detroit in December every year. We'd go up there after Christmas and visit my grandparents, and I can tell you, that is not, as you intimated, that is not a place you want to go right after Christmas. I mean, it's miserable. It's depressing. I love it in the summer. It's a nice place in the summer, actually, Detroit is, but yeah, UVA dodged a bullet by not going to that bowl. I can say that.
No pun intended.
That's not that bad. Come on. I mean, it's an American city. You know, it's not as bad as Chicago in terms of murders, I don't think. And we might want to do a murder ranking later, but I think it's probably got a lower murder rate than Chicago and probably D.C. too.
Well, let me set the record straight, because I didn't mean to intimate that it wasn't a good place to be. I meant to flat out just state it.
Right, right. There's no intimation right. There at all. There's no subtlety at all.
Right.
This place sucks. You don't
right.
want to go. And I'll agree wholeheartedly with you. I mean, it's not a place you want to go, Virginia. There are some benefits to traveling and getting someplace new. I mean, I'm sure there's players on Virginia's team who've never been to Michigan. You know, I'm sure they've probably been to Maryland. I mean, it's not that far of a drive to get there. So there would be some experiences probably that they would have got.
Drive-bys.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry.
Carjackings,
McFarling. I got dragged into this conversation by these two guys. They were my friends, and they're no longer my friends.
Just like that, Ed.
Aaron is clarified. All right. After that being said, for Virginia, they get Navy in the bowl game. And this has become, you know, a pretty solid, reputable bowl, the Military Bowl. Not an elite bowl, not, you know, even in that second tier with the Citrus Bowl and, you know, whatever they call the Gator Bowl these days, but a good, solid bowl. How should Virginia feel about this as the cap to their second season with Bronco Mendenhall?
Well, I think they should feel good because I think it's a chance to get a win. You know, I know we heard a lot about Bronco Mendenhall's ability to stop the option or his you know, somebody called him the option whisperer and stuff before that Georgia Tech game. And that certainly wasn't one with defense, as we all recall. The final score was something like 40-38. I don't remember what it was, but it was, you know, Georgia Tech's scoring total was in the 30s. So maybe he didn't do the best job ever in that respect, stopping the option. But you got a lot of time here. You've got a guy who does have a reputation for stopping the option. And, you know, you get the rare opportunity to watch the team you're going to play, you know, which I don't, you know, you don't get that because obviously everybody else's season is over and you get to see Navy versus Army and really kind of break that apart and see what all that Navy team's personnel is all about. That's an advantage to UVA too. So, and I think people understanding that it's in Annapolis, which is the home of Navy, I think people who are Virginia fans would credit this as a good win if they were able to get it. I think there is a downside. If you don't beat Navy, then it's kind of like you feel like maybe you didn't make as much progress as you thought you did. So I think it's a big deal for Virginia to win this game. I think it's very important to put a winning record on the ledger there and move on to next year with some positive feelings.
Now, you know, the flip side to that is, you know, that when we look at other bowls and where they might have wound up, I mean, they're in the, they're obviously, I'm looking for it. They're in the Military Bowl. The other bowl was in the Quick Lane Bowl, and that's Duke and Northern Illinois. You know, there's no real, you know, upside to losing to Northern Illinois either, right? I mean, Navy's, you know, an opponent that, you know, probably resonates a little bit better, and I don't know if they're more beatable than Northern Illinois, but, I mean, it's, you know, this year's important for Virginia to get a win. I don't normally think winning a bowl game's all that important, but I think this year it is, especially for guys like Micah Kizer and Quinn Blanding, right?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, this is the moment they've been waiting for their entire careers, and they came back for it, and they're going to get it. Yeah, it's a big deal on a lot of fronts. I think you're right. You know, people say there's too many bowls and there's too many, you know, too many teams get in and all these kind of things. But, I mean, you go talk to Quinn Blanding about whether there's too many bowls. Go talk to Micah Kizer about whether there's too many bowls. Go talk to Bronco Mendenhall about whether there's too many bowls. I mean, these are the kinds of things that you grade on a curve with these kinds of situations, these kinds of programs that are trying to build and, you know, they get that extra month worth of practice. They get all those things that come with having a bowl game. And yeah, I don't know. I think Navy's probably a tougher opponent, especially given the venue, than a MAC team, even though I don't like MAC teams at all in bowl games. And you'll see that in my bowl guide, which will come out here. And how about that for a plug? But I do a bowl guide every year, and I usually routinely pick against MAC teams against the spread because they put up big numbers in that league, and you look at the numbers, and they're just great, especially for the quarterbacks. And then they come out and they can't do anything against real competition. So I think Virginia probably would have had an easier time winning a game against a Northern Illinois type than it will against a Navy type, which is formidable. You know, I haven't seen a line on this game. I'm not sure if they've released one yet, but you know, I don't think Virginia would be favored by much, if at all.
Aaron McFarling joining us here on the Sports Line, presented by Jersey Lilies. You can create a meal that I would hate and Aaron would love, or that Aaron would not like, but that I would enjoy, whichever way you prefer, at Jersey Lilies on Route 460 and Electric Road in Roanoke. Aaron, Virginia Tech, they're going back to Florida, not to Jacksonville like they thought, but to Orlando to play Oklahoma State. How concerned were you when you saw this matchup, given just how explosive the Cowboys are?
How concerned was I? Well I'm not concerned Hokie at all fans, about man. Going to spend some time in a hot tub down in Orlando. That'd be sweet. I'm going to enjoy that. No, in terms of whether the Hokies should be concerned, yeah. I mean, most years you'd say, you know, Justin Fuente is going to have a team that can keep up with anybody or almost anybody. This year, the offense, the way we've seen it play here recently, it's just not been a team that keeps up with people. So Bud Foster's group is going to have to be on point, obviously. You know, their first priority in every game is to stop the run, but that's not really what Oklahoma State's strength is. So, you know, you kind of have to go to plan B, which is just try to shut down a passing game, which is as good as it gets in the country. So, yeah, it's an intriguing matchup for sure. I don't think I favor the Hokies in it right now. I mean, we can talk more as we see who gets healthy, you know, who doesn't get healthy, who's on the injured list, those kinds of things. But it seems like a tough matchup to me for the Hokies, and it'll be a real challenge.
See, I look forward to talking with you in the next week or so. You know, Ed was kind of whispering earlier that, you know, we may need to do a bowl preview with you and your bowl guide, but the Tech Oklahoma State game falls into the category that I alluded to earlier. I think that, you know, ultimately in the long run, I don't know that it really matters who wins this game, right? I mean, I know Hokie fans want to win, and, you know, but ultimately it doesn't really matter, does it?
No, not too much. Not too much, really. You're right. I mean, it's like, it's kind of like the whole, well, do you get 10 wins or not? Okay, how big a deal is that? Is that a big deal? I don't know. I mean, I guess it is. But as many games as you play these days, I'm not sure that it is. I mean, obviously, they're going to want to win it,
right?
Because it's going to be a springboard and all those things that you always talk about for bowl games. It's good feelings. It's the fact that every time you go to if you're Fuente and you're going to a booster club meeting, and you're not going to have to answer questions about why you lost the bowl game, or, you know, why you ended the season with an L. You know, those are the kinds of things that they're thinking about. From a big picture standpoint, I think you're right. I mean, this is, you know, sort of the middle section of the bowls where there isn't a whole lot of consequence to winning and losing, other than just feeling good for a few months or feeling a bad taste in your mouth for a few months. And that, you know, for players that matters. I don't know, for fans, that they probably shake this off. They probably shake it off pretty quickly if the Hokies lose to Oklahoma State.
All right, Aaron, we got to go. Thank you as always. Look forward to catching up again soon.
Sounds good, guys.
Aaron McFarley, 551. My thoughts on bowl games when we come back. Stay tuned.